one cares about the first. Okay, you care about the first form, the fourth form, and the gold form. Those two in the middle, especially number three. No one likes number three.
Meh.
How does he seem to get weaker with number three?
Is it Dragon Ball?
Frieza's makeup be on point, though. Like, I want to know what lipstick he uses.
The blood of his enemies?
I was going to say blood.
Like, and he has really long nails. Like, he's that glamour meme with, like, the long eyelashes and the really juicy lips and the long nails. And he's like, oh, Goku ain't nothing. I'm going to beat your butt. I'm gonna beat your butt so bad, Goku.
He's supposed to be, a real estate agent. Because according to Akira Toriyama, that's the most evil thing in the world.
Yeah, according to Akira Toriyama.
That's why Lex Luthor did a real estate scam in most Superman movies.
Akira Toriyama forgets everything, though. Remember SS4? He doesn't.
That wasn't him, though.
That wasn't him. That's fair.
No, they got nothing to do with him.
I mean, they made that a multiplayer game specifically to write the story of GT like out of canon. They're like, okay, we haven't made a new show yet. Well, so Megan, like before the show here, you've been telling us that we're doing the exercise now. So what are we doing?
We're all gonna start taking yoga.
No, goat yoga. I'm down if we have goats, because then you do the pose, and then you have like a baby goat in like fuzzy pajamas jump on top of you, and that just sounds better. I don't think anyone's offering goat yoga locally.
I mean, I would love to do metal yoga where you just scream and listen to like metal the whole time. Like, it doesn't have to be peaceful.
No, I want peaceful yoga.
What better way to agonize about your hamstrings being so sore than metal and just screaming it out? I don't know.
I just steamed my hams.
Steam my hams.
Steam your hams.
I was getting in shape. I'm doing that. I was doing, of course, the Beat Saber. I didn't really do too much Beat Saber this week because I'm giving my shoulders a bit of a break. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with them. I want to talk to a doctor, but you know, that's taking some time right now because of the current situation everything is being.
Yeah, fair. Have you tried rubbing some essential oils on them? Just rub some essential oils there. Stick like a needle in. Oh yeah, you can shack attack it. You can have the power of Icy Hot.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Is the roll-on stick even better?
Gifted a Fitbit, so that's today. I'm just like hammering it out. Well, I took a walk this morning and sitting at 14,000 steps, which isn't bad for a starter, I guess. But we're all getting swole. Okay, it's happening. Come on, guys. Let's do it.
Me and Kyle were, what was it, like Overwatch a few days ago?
Overwatch!
Because you've Kyle, he's gotten your computer all shedangled, and I understand you're streaming.
And I've been streaming at twitch.tv/frozenfire727.
Woo-woo!
Subtle.
But yeah, we were playing yesterday, and I said something about like I was eating something or drinking something, and Rob from the distance goes, how are you not dead?
I assume your heart is really strong, and that's why it could pump the thickness.
I'm only 211 pounds, my boy.
That's so upsetting.
That is so upsetting. What? No, that's not fair.
I scaled myself yesterday.
I'm like 40 pounds heavier than Chris.
Yeah, I'm heavier than Chris too, and that makes me visibly angry.
Should have seen him in high school, man. The kid was like 100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah,
I was having a hard time because, like, I don't have a scale.
I assume the internet has an answer out there somewhere. There's got to be a way to weigh yourself with no actual, like, weighing measurement equipment.
Volume.
I mean, I could just go to the gym down the street and wait for, like, wayward lift guys to come by.
Wait, Rob has an answer. Volume.
Go in your bathtub, fill it with water, mark the line, hop in, mark where the water goes up to, and then do the math about the difference.
And then you will have your weight. Rob is completely right.
Except who wants to do math?
I'm not doing the math.
Alicia. Alicia is our math. Alicia, help me out here. You know, we'll get her to do the math for me. I'll just set it up.
Alicia likes math, though. She's not like us.
I'll just go down to the gym and wait for, like, you know, the lift guys to be like, I need to lift, bro. And then I'll be like, lift me. How much do you, like, bench press? Like, just lift me. I want to know how much I weigh.
Yeah, no. I'm just gonna curl Megan because she's 2 inches tall.
I'm actually really I'm really curious to see like if any of my gains will show by the next time we get together. once all this stuff has been lifted, I want to see if you guys notice anything. Like, it's,
what we'll notice is if Kyle gets knocked out when you put him in the face, inevitably. It's going to, I mean,
hey,
I've noticed a pattern. I'm sorry.
Kyle's just getting bullied today.
Megan just tends to you in the face on a more frequent base than I have ever touched your face.
The one time that I actually did punch what? Kyle in the face. Yeah.
One.
It was just one time. No,
it's been more than one.
One
and a half. Three to four incidences where I know you've hit, maybe not intentionally punched him in the face, but you've struck him in the face in some manner.
Remember that time I slapped Rob in the face really hard and no one expected it? And it was just like, oh my goodness.
I mean, I think each of you have at least hit me in the face once.
Have I hit you in the face?
I don't think I have.
I know, Chris, maybe you have.
Maybe with something, not with my hands. I may have sprayed you in the face in some sort of way. If that counts, if spraying in the face counts, then I've hit you in the face, but not with my hands.
Rob's like that unruly cat. I'm a
simple man.
Yeah. Rob's like that unruly cat that you have to have a spray bottle for, like, all times, like, at all times.
No, he's the human version of Kratos, except Kratos is still kind of smarter.
And where cuter.
He gets his love for life and everything.
He bounds in with good intention and enthusiasm.
One of the most vivid memories of Kyle abuse that I remember is when I nearly choked him to death with the Gobstopper.
Why does this keep coming up?
The Gobstopper?
Because I keep bringing it up.
Because it makes her all choked up.
This is actually our HR Zoom meeting when I have to...
We have an HR?
If we were having an HR meeting, Andrew, I think you'd be up first.
Yeah, I've been noticing over the past month there's been a lack of sexual harassment. What's up with that?
Because we're all away from you.
You know what I miss? You know what I miss? 1 a.m. trips to the McDonald's drive-thru.
I miss
1 a.m. trips to the McDonald's drive-thru, please.
No.
I miss the 1 a.m. trips to Max.
No.
Or AMP. Metro.
I'm just gonna take the trolley and pay 3 pence at the A&P store for
I got this
banana
for bread, milk,
and locally sourced goat.
Hey, goat's delicious. Don't knock it till you tried it.
I would love to try goat. I would completely like. I can look at a baby goat and just go, I'll still eat you. Like there's a line. Like goat's very cute, but not so cute that I wouldn't stick it in my mouth. Where's the line of like cute versus eat for you? Because like for the like, cats, I can't. Bunnies, I can though. Bunnies are adorable, but I can't eat a cat. If it's already in a dish, but I'm not going to order the cat myself. If someone's like, here, I cooked up some cat. Would you like to try it? I'm like, well, I mean, sure, but.
Yep.
So what I'm hearing is when I take Andrew to Mexico, just put food in front of him. Don't ask his opinion. Just be like, Andrew, eat.
Yeah,
I want to taste alligator because they say
it's pretty good.
Like it's chicken. Real good. No, it's way more flavorful.
It's pretty good.
I want to just try it because I want to know what dinosaurs tasted like, yo.
That's chicken.
You got chicken.
That's chicken. Chickens are a dinosaur.
They taste like extinct dinosaurs.
Our greatest mocking of nature is taking dinosaurs and making them nuggets.
And then turning them into dinosaur-shaped nuggets?
Yes. Dino nuggets is how we mock the universe. Look at our power. We use dinosaur bones to run this fire to make a nugget made out of a dinosaur reshaped to be like an older dinosaur. That's humans. This week on Fox.
Human.
Has anyone else been trying to do some physical fitness?
I'm just going to eat more salad. I'm going to find very interesting salads from the 50s and keep posting that. This week, with pear salad, it was
delicious.
I hate
the 50s like gelatin salads. Like they just gross me out so bad.
I've been looking into this, and it's a weird thing. It became so popular mostly because of like the space race. So spacey, sort of futuristic sounding foods was pushed to the forefront. So these were things that were like preservatives, kind of new. Hey, you know what? We have this jar of something that like you can keep it for like ever. Because this was also the time before best before dates. So it was a brave new world of supermarket shopping.
I love watching videos of people like opening MREs and like eating them.
What? Why?
They're like, oh yeah, this MRE is from like Poland from like the 40s, and they just eat it.
Ah, so it's mostly rancid edibles.
Rob still brought good. That MRE in once that I had to try that just smelled and tasted like vomit. And then we asked how old they were, and Rob's like, forget. Enough. Pretty old. They've been there for at least a decade.
Well, there was just the one that was pork. That one was okay.
They're designed not to go bad. Doesn't mean they're good. It just means not bad.
So the personal trainer's name is Autumn, and she's awesome. But I often yell profanities at her.
Awesome. Does she yell encouragement or like physical abuse? Because
both. She likes awesome. To do both.
I need to stick and carrot here. I need, it's like, oh yeah, you could do it, blah blah blah, or don't stop, fatty, or I will eat your soul. That's what I need, and then I'll keep doing my jumping jacks.
She calls you out and she's like, I know you're thinking of all of the reasons why to quit. You're making excuses for yourself. Push through it. You're here for a reason. And like, ooh, yeah. I love her. One of her sayings is, hate me today, love me tomorrow.
Isn't that Blue October lyrics?
I don't know.
Is that literally not the song Hate Me by Blue October?
That is.
Oh, wow.
But she's fantastic. The very first video was the full body cardio fix. I hate it. And my favorite person was a person wearing a T-Rex on their shirt. It was a T-Rex attempting push-ups.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just sad.
I enjoy T-Rexes doing long arm activities.
T-Rex trying to change
make
the
your
sheets.
Bed. Yeah.
Yeah, so she just does like a bunch of different exercises for 60 seconds each, and they're pretty tough. Like sometimes I can't make it the full 60 seconds, unfortunately, so I have to take a rest and then do the 30 seconds, and then I'll usually push it like at the last 15 seconds as much as I possibly can.
So you're all getting healthy. I'm just working my quarantine beard. It's coming along nicely.
Yeah,
looking really good.
Yeah, it's getting in there.
Hold on, we're all getting healthy?
No.
No. Yes. No, you're eating 4 servings of pasta, Chris.
I'm getting Arby's tomorrow.
I know Kyle's been trying to get into shape.
I use fitness dancing from
Fitness Marshall.
From Fitness Marshall, the most wonderful man on planet Earth, even though you try to keep up with him, but there's no way in hell that you can keep up with him.
I loved his Megan Trainor one where he's just like, charge, and he's like, wow, like he's so crazy. I love him.
He's done some wild new ones that I can't quite think of at the time, but he's done like a couple Doja Cat ones. He's done Lizzo. Ooh. Like Truth Hurts and the other one's a meme song too from TikTok. So
oh yeah, how's your TikTok, and Kyle, have you danced to a TikTok dance yet?
I'm never gonna reach that form of TikTok. I'm just the one that sits there creeping.
You're just a tick ticker.
I'm a TikTok creeper.
If you want Kyle to dance, put on Dr. Jones by Aqua, and he goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, same. I also love Aqua. It makes me happy in my sugar part of the brain.
They released a live Dr. Jones 4 years ago as a music video, and the guy playing piano just looks like he killed him. Like all sense of happiness is drained from him, and he's just like.
Like keyboard couch more into it,
and you just have like the guy that's like walking around in a leather jacket with shades on, and so even though it's inside, he's just like, Dr. Jones, wake up now.
Days I wish I had a green screen.
That's basically what he does. And she does some great 90s music video dancing, but there's no music video, so it's live, and it's if you ever just want to see a great time. The Aqua Dr. Jones music videos.
So did you see the Snyder Cut announcement this week? The thing that I never thought was gonna happen. I'm like, oh, okay. This point I had stopped caring. I'm like, I never cared in the first place beyond like morbid curiosity. I'm like, oh, okay, like what was his plan? But
I'm not watching it again.
It's gonna be a kind of different movie.
Apparently it's gonna be 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yep.
I'm sure as hell not watching that now.
I mean, you probably will through osmosis when I watch it.
Oh, I pay attention to a 4-hour movie? I could barely pay attention to Avengers.
I could do Endgame. I'm worried about the Snyder Cut being 4 hours because, yeah, Avengers was still only 3.
You ever tried Lord of the Rings? It's like...
Yes, I have to watch the extended editions or I find them boring.
I love Lord of the Rings. Come on now. It is a classic. It is beautiful.
It is a great time, but try watching that. That's a whole day.
Chris, you've never watched Lord of the Rings?
Never had an interest in it.
Don't do it.
You won't do it.
It's good, boy.
It's like Harry Potter. I watched the first movie, saw the last movie, and had no interest in between.
I watched them when they're 10 years old. I watched them when they're 18 years old. Same movie.
There's three of at least with Harry Potter, there's 15, so you can skip 1 to 47. And Lord of the Rings is 3 of them, so why would you skip the second one? Why don't you just fill in the gap? The second one's the best one.
Because I didn't want to go see the 7th one anyway. I was just dating a girl. She wanted to go see it in theater, so I went, guess I'm going to see it.
I don't have faith that the Snyder Cut is going to be good, because some of the things they've said that is in it is the exact problem they had with all of the other movies that he made, where they are so concerned about shoving so many classic DC storylines into the movie, they didn't explore any of them, despite having an hours-long movie. Darkseid's in it, though.
What?
Yeah, Darkseid is supposed to be... Darkseid. So yeah, Darkseid was cast. All of the footage for the Snyder Cut was done because he left in post production, and then Whedon went, I can't use this. This is really drab and dour. I can't make a happy movie. We have to do some reshoots, and that's when we got CG creepy Superman. But all of the actor footage is there. They just had to spend $20 or $30 million dollars to finish the effects. But that thing is, knowing that is enough. I'm like, okay, I do want to see a live action Darkseid, but maybe not for... I didn't know 4 hours, and that scares me.
So long.
But what else are you doing?
Just wait for the clips to come out.
Anything else? Staring at paint dry. I don't care.
Hey, I'd rather do push-ups.
It's fun. All right, Chris, go.
Push-ups.
I'm not doing push-ups.
Zack Snyder Cut's not out yet. He doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, it's not yet.
All right, I'm going to remember this. When the Snyder Cut comes up, I'm going to come to you.
Rob, I'm still not doing push-ups.
You know what's going to be an easier way to get through this movie is just absorb it through memes.
To be fair, Rob, I brought you that 8-hour Phase 1 Avengers cut, and we watched that. I think we can handle a 4. I mean, 8 hours of Marvel movies where it had the Incredible Hulk and Thor 2 in it, which that's kind of... No, Thor 2 was in the second one.
It was
Iron Man 2. He still has Mickey Rourke with my birth, so you got an hour. It's Incredible Hulk that's boring, too. But an hour and a half of boring within an 8-hour movie.
You guys are thinking it's this 4-hour movie. Oh, that's so terrible and long. I've seen each of you binge full Netflix series that are 9 hours.
Yeah, he's right. So, yeah, what are you talking about? You've watched 8 hours in a row because it...
Yeah, but yeah. I can get up and stop an episode and then come back later.
So just hit pause on the TV and come back.
I'm not coming back to a movie. That's stupid.
Let me rephrase this. It's not the fact that it's a 4-hour movie. It's the fact that it's a really bad DC movie.
Okay, I'll give you that.
That's the thing is despite all of this, oh man, is the movie still going to suck and probably still be worse than the Justice League that came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you
then
know what?
I just got 4 hours of nothing.
If that's your worse and dumber.
We need to head to our first break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks on 102.7 FM CILU or around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was Bedford Level Experiment with Bored in My Room.
Heck, Kyle and I started a movie that was so bad we forgot we already watched it once.
Polaroid. It's on Netflix.
It just got added.
It's called Polaroid. I was like so excited. I was like, Rob, let's watch this when you get home. And we started, and he's like, I've seen this. And he like mentions a scene to me, and I'm like, oh God, I've seen this. And then
I'm the one who's seen.
It's bad. There's one good scene in it, but.
And that was all we remembered. It's like, hey, isn't this the movie with the thing where the guy sets himself on fire?
You just got to watch a guy set himself on fire. And that's par for the course for a horror movie. You seen Hereditary? Guy lit himself on fire.
Same thing.
Same thing.
But we did watch a good horror movie. The Hunt?
The Hunt.
I'm curious about this. I meant to see this, but there was a lot of controversy about this movie coming out because there was a... The same thing kind of happened with The Joker, where people saw the trailers, made a whole bunch of assumptions about the content of the movie.
Yeah, don't you got not you get nothing from the trailer.
The trailer lines.
Try to pick a main character.
I kind of understand it. It's like it's a different reimagining of like the Most Dangerous Game.
Yes.
Where like that. Where yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Basically, you know that
Emma Roberts.
Yeah, she's in this. She's in this for a grand total of maybe like 10 minutes.
And
but she's like on the front cover, star as blank.
It's also got the guy from It's Always Sunny who played Dennis.
The guy from Always Sunny. And, yeah, there's a whole bunch of like Ike Barinholtz from Mad TV is in this, but he's again another one that just
I can't remember the actor's name. But do you remember the guy who couldn't see the sailboat from Mallrats?
The big hefty guy that's like
Dylan, watching... I think.
He lost all the weight, by the way. He's
in fantastic shape now.
Yeah, it took, like, when I told Kyle that was him, he kind of had to pause at the screen and go, huh.
This is one of those movies where you're like, oh, cool, these are our main characters and this is our cast. And then they're like, no. And then you just watch people die and get picked off. And you're like, who am I following? Character in this movie? And eventually you come upon, I'm pretty sure her name's Hilary Swank. I think she's the main character in this.
And she kind of is awesome in the role.
There's a bunch of rich kids hunting people down, and sure enough.
Okay, so like, I mean, how is it really set up? Like for the hunt, are they invited?
It starts like the Hunger Games.
They wake up with things in their mouths to keep them from talking, and they find a crate in the middle of the field. They open the crate, and it's loaded with guns and a pig.
Oh,
literally.
Oh man.
Okay.
I'm kind of back in. I was disappointed by the lack of Emma Roberts because her face
explodes.
I'm okay with exploding face.
And then you got the like first sequence of people being hunted down by like snipers and arrows and grenades,
landmines,
pitfalls where people
are
like,
they going like special effects wise?
Sometimes they're iffy, but like it's an okay iffy.
Is it super gory? Like, are we getting an arrow through and they're just bleeding everywhere?
So much blood.
Because, like, there's one group where they get all the weapons that are trying to fight back, but they don't get a chance to fight back because they're in, like, a bunker with a sniper rifle being shot at. Like, you can't really fight back against that, right?
And there's, again, landmines. They have no idea what's going on. They just wake up.
They just woke up and all of a sudden people are being shot at and exploding and, like, blowing up.
There's a hilarious scene where someone throws a grenade and it lands in front of one of the people's faces and nothing happens and they're like, did you remember to pull the pin? Oh yeah,
so they just throw another grenade.
That makes sense. And then you get two booms.
These rich people aren't like sophisticated hunters. They are the worst.
No, they're just people being told by some military guy that they had to keep it to 12 people for security reasons and shoot people, just regular people shooting people.
Is there any motivation ever given for it? Or
they trolled a person online.
They call it like Manor Gate.
Basically.
Oh, so I'm going to go get hunted is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Essentially, it's people that are like, they make reference to like Pizzagate and Gamergate and stuff like that. And then they're like, it's Manor Gate. And I'm like,
some rich people were having a fake conversation about hunting the unworthy on like a private chat. And then that got leaked, and everyone's like, oh, you're totally hunting people because you're rich.
So they decided to do it.
All right, that sounds like a good idea.
The manor in Croatia?
Some Eastern European country.
I think it's Croatia that they wind up going to. And then, Hilary Swank makes her way through, and they stop at a gas station where, like, Ma and Pa, there's one guy named Vanilla Nice.
He's from Florida.
He eats a donut, or no, he doesn't eat the donut. The other person eats a donut, winds up getting poisoned. Then they discovered that the gas station's a trap.
And then they gas the gas station.
He gassed the gas station.
How do they get to a gas station? You say like they wake up in just like the middle of nowhere with a crate.
They hopped a fence.
They hopped. Okay, so like there is a compound, and they escape the compound, and it moves beyond that.
Yeah.
The compound was just a fake wall because the gas station was designed to look like America, even though it's not
supposed to look like
Arkansas.
I want to say Arkansas, but
it's yeah. Okay, so the idea is like even when you think you've escaped, you're still in the simulation.
And Hillary Swank figures it out because she gets a pack of smokes, and then they like charge her, and she's like, "That's not how much it costs," and blah blah blah, and start shooting people. And
no, the sales tax is just different in this state. My arm.
That's just with like more people blowing up in a gas station, like exploding and dying. It's just wild.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a legitimately good movie. Like it's, I think it's got pretty high ratings even on Tomatoes.
Because all I remember is just people threw an absolute fit because they thought it was going to be. It was the same thing with the Joker. Like, oh, this is going to be a pro MAGA incel movie. It's like, wait till it comes out and see what they say.
Realistic fight scenes. With nice. Hilary Swank and some other big named actress chick, I can't remember. At one point, she gets stabbed with like a rotary blade, and ooh, she grabs the other chick and like pulls her into it, so they both get stabbed by it.
My favorite part is they crash through a window, and they're both just lying there, and they're like, "One minute."
They actually have to like catch their breath after slamming through like six windows and like fireplaces and stuff, and then they actually stop and they're like, "Hey, no more glass," and they like open the door and like walk into it and start like stabbing each other again.
I'm in. I want a good comedy horror.
It's got it. I don't want to say like the little twist at the end.
Yeah, don't spoil Hillary the end Swank's for me,
character, but like it's pretty funny. You want to find out seeing like who she actually is, and it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I won't guess. I won't guess because my guess might.
You
be
probably
right,
won't guess.
Okay.
There was no way I thought about it, but there was one guy who's like wakes up. He's like, "I told you this is all part of the conspiracy. Like we are just all here." And you get the American embassy pulling up, and she's got one of the smoothest scenes where she just like grabs the door handle, like the OSH handle from Cars, and she just slowly turns and then boots the person out of the car like mid drive, and they're like, "Yeah, he's part of the conspiracy too." Continues on with her path, and I'm just like, what is happening? Who is real in this movie?
The best part is they jump a train to think they escaped, and there's a bunch of Syrian refugees, and there's a guy holding the gun, and he's like, no, this is part of the trap, this is part of the trap. And then they like get pulled over by the Croatian military, and one of the guys comes out, it's like, "I'm totally on this, and when this is over, I'm gonna kill you." And then it just goes back to speaking poor language. And he's like, "I told you the conspiracies."
Well, people's worries was that this is going to like, I've poked the bear a couple times for the people that are in on the global Illuminati, and the only thing that's going to save you is buying my water filter. This is from a perspective of like, oh no, you're in a world now where yes, everyone is out to get you, and everyone is in on it, and everyone is watching.
I mean, I think the guy was meant to be like a Joe Rogan parody because he was a podcast.
Yeah,
on everything.
He was a podcast.
Oh, beautiful person.
Yeah, he was, and he's like this big bearded guy, obviously, you know.
I love it.
There's
it
a character in the movie called Shut the F Up Gary. Literally on IMDb is called Shut the F Up Gary.
Shut the F Up Gary.
And I'm like sitting there waiting the whole movie to find him, and I'm like, who is Gary? And then, you know,
that was how Kyle sold me the movie. He's like, dude, there's this character called this and we're gonna watch it. I'm like, done.
I was looking through the 2020 horror movies between the swaths of Corona zombies and other related movies.
Yeah, horror is going to get real interesting in 2021 because it's all going to be based on our insecurities from 2020. No. And it's just going to be like a lot of movies about being alone and trapped. And
we literally already had a movie called Quarantine.
But now I want to see the like Zed movie version of that where like it's a virus, but the virus also has machine guns. Yes, it when you cough, it shoots machine guns out of your mouth.
Please.
We'll call it School Koofer.
No. No.
I gotta go.
And that's the thing is, like, when you cough, you shoot someone else, and then everyone's shooting everyone. It'll be a commentary on 2019 and 2020. Asylum, pick it up. I want School Koofer.
Andrew, you need to go.
Asylum has made stupider movies. Rob, back me up on this. Can they make a movie where people get shot by coughing, and when you cough on someone and get shot, you get infected with the virus, which then makes you cough shot?
I don't know. That might be a little above their effects budget of
$3.
$3? No, the after effects. You know, doing gunfire is extremely easy. That's why they do it.
Because I've tried.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know, there's enough examples upon guys doing it just as a hobby on YouTube that I think that's within their budget. All you need is squib packs and Adobe After Effects.
No, you don't need any squib packs anymore. They make digital squibs.
Oh, well, over there, they're just going to digital squib. Yeah, that makes me sad.
You can do it in the Blender or Cinema 4K, generally.
What if
I want my corn syrup?
Blender 4K 62XY?
Okay, well, if you don't like School Koofer, give me an alternative Zed movie horror that is based on the current situation. So it's got to be like virus related.
That would be related to Wreck then.
Get down with the sickness.
Good title. Good title.
Rob,
what's it about, Rob? What's getting down with the sickness about? Oh, is it about it's going to be a dance virus? Please be a dance virus where people dance themselves to death.
Wasn't that pretty disturbed in France?
I'm a little disturbed.
So that it had brand recognition.
No, there was a real French dance virus, I think, in the late 1800s that no one understands how it happened, why it happened, people died. Where they literally...
There's the movie. It's just that virus comes back in the modern day.
The French dance virus returns.
The Frenchman dance virus.
Yeah, Andrew, when we're done the episode, I actually look it up because it's just a weird story because no one knows how it started or why it ended. Just a bunch of people in France started dancing until they dropped.
I think Flash Mob would be a better title for that, but you know, that's...
I was thinking Save the Last Dance, but that's already a movie. There you go, Rob. Yeah.
Dance of the Dead.
Megan.
Asylum, hire me.
This would be a great opportunity to use our like subtitle of Electric Boogaloo. Like it could be like called like the France Dance Virus 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, there won't be a first movie. We'll just make the second. We'll name it as a sequel. That's one of my favorite stupid things to do, is not making a first movie. We'll still imply there was a whole movie done with a high effects budget for number one, and then we'll be making number two the sequel. Or you can just have it like Dance of Death. I mean, it's boring, but I want something funnier.
Dance of Death 2, Electric Boogaloo. And have it like, ooh. And when people are about to die, they just like explode into lightning to save up on the
money. And that's when you get zapped and you get jitterbugged, and that's how you get it. Is if someone, you know, who continuously sees and dances, and then you can have a whole social commentary about being afraid of dancers.
Didn't they have dancing to death in Kingsman 2?
No, that was.
It was one of the symptoms. It was like the symptom before they actually like kicked the bucket. It was that they just move uncontrollably, like dancing.
There was
this is different enough. This is one's based on viruses.
No, from Buffy in the musical episode when they literally danced themselves.
There was only one guy who really danced himself to death, and the episode you're thinking of is Once More with Feeling.
Yeah, I know, but thanks. In the same vein of things, where people like dance themselves into like
combustion.
Yeah, combustion. People just like drop dead because their heart can't contain it.
We don't have to just being one way of like dying and stuff. The virus is, that's why we can't cure the virus. It mutates so quickly. So you'll see, we can just kill people in a myriad of different ways by dancing themselves to death. So we can have them like grinding their feet down to nubs.
How many Photoshop effects can we kill them with?
Yes.
Andrew, I have a great way. You know, like breakdancers and they like spin themselves on their heads?
Yes.
Yeah, so just, you know how they're like grinding their feet down to like nubs? Well, like what if we did that to their head and then their brain?
Yeah, they just spun on their head. Like, oh, yeah, and then you can have like the top skull half of their brain kind of like detached. So they're like, you see like the hair will still be in the same position, but their face will spin around as they grind down.
All right, Asylum, we pretty much just scripted a movie for you. All my $12 in royalty.
Wow, $12, aiming high.
$12. Okay. Then we have to have our Mickey celebrity cast. There has to be one star from the 80s or 90s that is, you know, not doing the greatest in their career
right now. Steven Seagal.
So they're very cheap. Steven Seagal can still be very expensive. He's very famous in Russia. And he's also a police officer. He has a television show where he is a police officer.
Frankie Muniz.
I don't know why I'm thinking of the guy from Postal, like the guy, the actor that was like the Postal guy.
Yeah, no, I want like washed up star. Or we could just have, you know, Aqua in it. We can just we'll cast the entire band of Aqua. They had Debbie Gibson in one, so that works. And Urkel's been in a couple.
Oh.
What about Martin Freeman? I feel like he does anything.
I was gonna say Fran Drescher, you know, the nanny.
Oh, Rob, I love you. I love you. Yes, I want to see Fran Drescher as a scientist that is trying to, you know, cure the dancer pants off Iris.
I would try and do a bad imitation, but my voice can't do that.
I can't do it either. I'm not even going to take a run at it. But I adore Fran Drescher.
I can't even remember what she sounds like. All I can think of is that lady from Friends.
No,
Fran Drescher. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm just thinking of that lady from Friends. Like, I can't think of anything else right now. I can see Fran Drescher.
Let's move from the set. Megan, I understand you've been playing some video games.
I've been playing some video games, yes. So the one that I picked up this week is a prequel to a game that I previously played and reviewed on our little show.
Yeah.
Here?
So
yeah.
I'm
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeehaw. No, I've been playing Life is Strange Before the Storm.
Yeah, you really liked the original one. You had a lot of love for the blue-haired one.
No,
or was it the other one? Did you hate the?
It was Max. I didn't hate Chloe, but I disliked Chloe because she had a lot of toxic behaviors, and there was like a lot of moments where I found that she was unfair to Max, the girl that you played as in the first game. In this game, you get to play as Chloe this time. Yeah, so this happened again. This is a prequel to before Max moves back to Arcadia Bay and meets up with Chloe again. So you're playing as Chloe, and she's all jaded because her father died in a car accident. So she's really upset about that and how that happened. You know, she feels like life is unfair. Her mother has a new boyfriend, and her best friend isn't around to help her in her time of need and everything. So now she's like, rebel! I'm gonna hike an hour out of town to go to this rock show at an old rundown mill.
When you say rock show, do you mean like music or actually rocks? Because with you, I never know. That wasn't a joke, that was a serious question.
I'm picturing Megan going to a stage and there's just a single rock with a spotlight on it, and Megan just in the background, woo! Yeah, rock!
I would!
Dwayne's living his best life.
Yes! Woo! No, it is like a metal show. A Firewalk, I believe the band is called. Now, I don't know if they're an actual band or a fictional band, but the other music is pretty okay. Keep in mind that this takes place in Portland, so all of the music in this show, it's basically a show because it's like a pick-your-own-adventure sort of style game. All of the music in this is going to be super like early 2000s hipster sort of style like sound, and it's really nice, though. It's really, really good soundtrack.
Indie rock.
So again, we meet Chloe, and she's, you know, trying to get into this like cool rock show, and she's like breaking curfew and like, you know, sticking it to the man. And something that they added in, like, Chloe's superpower is her attitude. So she gets into like a back talk like session with people. So you can do this with multiple different characters, and your first victim is the bouncer outside of the rock show, and you have to like listen to what they're saying. And then you have to choose an option that plays off of that, right?
It's like a Telltale game.
It's a choose your own adventure. So an interactive story game.
And then, you know, you finally get in there and, you know, she's walking around, you know, she's feeling so cool because, you know, she's at this like forbidden thing, and she makes her way up. And unfortunately, like, she gets pushed into somebody and they spill their beer. And like, that's like something for her to be like,
my beer.
Vilified against. Oh, you spilled my beer, little missy. You know, and then she ends up getting saved by the most popular girl in school. Oh my god, Rachel.
I love the most popular girls in school.
Oh my god, it's Rachel Amber. Like, she's the most popular girl in school. What is she doing at this rock show? I am going to be straight up, and I'm going to tell you right now, I hate this girl.
Oh, you mean Rachel's the coolest, and you're just jealous because she's perfect in every way?
No, she is a toxic, toxic person I'm just gonna get
it. She looks like a tool.
But like, is she like your typical like high school like queen bee?
She's part of the like the drama club. She's valedictorian, she gets straight A's, like she's like She does.
Dad, it sounds like you're jelly. It sounds like she's perfect and a well-rounded member of society. She could be president one day, Megan.
Let me just get into it and you'll see why she's not good.
Okay, I will find reasons to love Rachel despite never playing this game.
So anyways, she saves you from these guys that are like trying to beat you up or whatever for stealing my beer, man. And then the next day at school, she like drags you away from chemistry class, I believe. And you're supposed to go to chemistry. You're supposed to go to chemistry. Like, you have to make it there, you know, like this is your last straw, Chloe. Because, you know, she's been skipping class and, you know, doing things. Like, again, she just lost her dad in a tragic car crash. And, like, her life is just spiraling, right? So she was supposed to go to this class. And, you know, it's your mission to go to this class. But Rachel, like, pulls her to the drama club. And then it's like, let's ditch. Let's just, you know, let's ditch and go elsewhere.
We're
and
too cool Chloe, for school. Yeah, she's trying to offer her cool cred.
Yeah, and Chloe's like, yeah, okay, I guess we'll go. But like, Rachel guilts you into going with her. She's
yeah,
like,
yeah, because
it's
gonna
well,
be totally
you know,
banger. Come on, don't be lame, Chloe. Oh my god.
No. It's like more of like an emotional abuse. It's like, oh, you know, I thought you were gonna be there for me, like, you know, blah blah blah. Anyways, so she drags you out of school, and then she like brings you to this park, and you guys like hang out, and you end up like looking through this viewfinder, and you see someone like macking on this lady, and as soon as that happens, Rachel's demeanor totally changes. You know, she's really like, she's fun in a way where she likes to play games. You know, she likes to play 20 questions and all this other stuff. And, you know, she's a drama kid, right? So
yeah,
she's an actor.
As soon as she sees like this guy like hitting on this woman, her demeanor totally changes. And she's like turning on Chloe. She's like, I thought you were supposed to be cool. You know, we've been ditching school for like hours and we haven't even got drunk yet. So Rachel makes you steal a bottle of wine from these picnickers, and then you guys go to this junkyard after.
That's like Yogi Bear. That sounds like some, you know, good shenanigans, good wholesome shenanigans. I'm going to steal the wine from these picnic baskets.
And then
oh my God, we're just trying to get the ranger.
As soon as you guys get to this junkyard, she's totally shut down, and then you call her out on it, and you're like, hey, what's the matter? Like, you know, you're obviously not having a good time. And she's like, oh my God, Chloe, like, just leave me alone. I just want to be left alone, you know? And she's the one who dragged you out of school on this adventure. And then she's like, leave me alone. And then she is like, oh, you're so selfish. Like, you don't know what's going on with me after you just asked her what was wrong, literally. And
but you're supposed to understand on an emotional level what's wrong with Rachel, because Rachel is the most important. You don't understand how hard it is to be Rachel.
Rachel is the worst. You find her after, and she's like, the guy that was hitting on that lady was my dad, and that wasn't my mom.
I understand. Why is she a bad person? She just caught her dad cheating. Good reason to shut down.
Like, I'm just going to ruin the whole game anyways.
Yeah.
The lady that he was meeting at the park was her birth mother. And, like, this birth mother of hers was like an addict, and she chose her addiction over Rachel, right?
Yeah.
But Rachel has had a good life. Her father and her mother like provided for her. They're rich. Like, they are rich and they provide for her and they're supportive. Like, there's
money
nothing wrong with
happiness.
Rachel's life. There is nothing wrong with Rachel's life. And she sees this happen. And then the thing is, she burns a picture, and then she ends up burning down the whole forest. The whole forest.
She literally just had to get back at that yogi breaking in on her biscuit basket wine game.
That's why you don't like photos in the forest.
That's why you don't like photos in the forest. And like, I don't know what's up with Rachel, but she like screams, and her rage like makes the wind pick up and like burns the whole forest down. I don't know what is up with Chloe, but Chloe like attracts supernatural beings. She's basically Professor X. She's like, ah, yes, you, the time bending girl. Ah, come to my, be mine. Ah, you, yes, the pyromaniac.
Did Professor X really attract anybody though? I think he built a stupid robot to do it.
So after you get found out for skipping school, you get expelled.
Yep.
So because of Rachel, you got expelled. And like Rachel tries to take the fall for you. Yeah. So Rachel tries to take the fall for you. And then the principal or whatever is like, well, you know, you're getting kicked out of the play. You're the lead role. Well, Rachel, you can get kicked out of the play. And me, being a bleeding heart, I'm like, no, I'm going to stand up for Rachel. And then so you get expelled, right?
Sounds like it was your decision. Rachel sounds like a perfectly nice girl that had a traumatic experience watching her, like her father, with what she assumes is an affair. And then she even tries to say, hey, it was me, and sacrifice herself.
She seems like a blowhard.
Rachel seems like an honest and caring and beautiful young lady who can be president of the United States one day.
She seems like an emotional tornado.
An emotional tornado is literally, yeah. So you get expelled and then you're sexist. So your mom is a single widow now and she like works at a diner and she ends up meeting this guy who's like, you know, an ex-military guy. And he was like a sergeant. So he's a drill sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like really like misogynist and like in the way he talks. And he's like, he doesn't treat Chloe like an actual person, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm moving in, and me as Chloe, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to live in the junkyard. Bye. Peace out. You get expelled from school. Your dad got a car crash accident, and now you can't go back home, right? So Chloe's life is literally garbage, and Rachel's like, my dad's cheating on my mom.
It just, I mean, again, it goes back to my original, I don't want to spoil the whole thing here, but it goes back to my point that Rachel is perfect and pretty and Chloe is trash.
Oh my God.
Lives in the garbage. Oh my God, Megan.
Even at dinner, you end up having dinner with her parents, with Rachel's parents, because you were in, like, you got dragged into being in this play with her. It was the Tempest, by the way, which is like a Shakespearean play. I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So you get dragged into being in this play with Rachel, and you end up having dinner because Rachel's like, my dad's cheating on my mom. Let's run away forever. Let's move to New York. Oh my
Let's
God.
Go to the circus.
Oh my God.
Let's all go to the
and
lobby.
Even after like sitting down with her parents and her dad being like, listen, that was your birth mother. I'm sorry. You know, what you saw was like a goodbye kiss, basically. You know, it was like the last time I'm ever seeing her, because, you know, she asked to like see you. Like, he's been giving her money for years and years and years because she's choosing her addiction over her daughter. And then he was like, this is the last chance you have. Do you want the money or do you want to see your daughter? And she chose her addiction. And then he's like,
money, money, money.
You are never seeing Rachel ever again. Anyways, he gives into his like emotions, I guess, and kisses her and then pieces out, which sucks. But it wasn't like he was having a years and years and years worth of affair like Rachel had seemed to think that was happening. And even after all that is explained, she's like, how can I keep on living when my entire life has been a lie? And it's like, Rachel, you are literally, there's nothing wrong with your life. And then she still is so hellbent on running away. Like, ugh.
I mean, did you at least like the game? Because you sound just angry about it.
I like the game. I just don't like Rachel. It's fine. Because, like, I mean, she dies anyway. So, whatever. I mean, the way that she manipulates Chloe really gets me. There's a lot of, like, little things that she does that's, like, really bad, manipulative, toxic behavior. And it's so selfish and narcissistic. And
that's why Drew likes her.
Yeah, I think, yeah. She understands that Rachel is number one in Rachel's world because only Rachel can stand up for Rachel.
Like, on the outside, she is cool. Like, she's fun. She's outgoing and everything. Like, she's, but to get to know her and be on to just be more than acquaintance to this kind of person. Like, there's so many red flags that just pop up like every single scene with this girl. And it's just like, why is Chloe letting this happen to her?
Because depressed people kind of latch on to anyone that's giving them like some sort of emotional attachment friendship. And but people are complicated.
So one time in the game, Chloe has like a lot of dream scenes of her father. like giving her advice, and then they always end like a bloody scene of her father getting hit by the transport, right? So obviously Chloe has a lot of trauma that she needs to work to, and I was like, legit, this poor girl needs a therapist. And there's one part in the game where Rachel's like, yeah, therapy section, ha 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 ha, because you fix up this truck. Chloe is actually handy in this. She like fixes a whole truck by herself that she found in a junkyard, and I'm like, go girl. And then the therapy session, first of all, you don't even get to bring up the fact about your dad. And I was like, that's what she needs to talk about, obviously, because she's having these horrific dreams about him. And then she's like, oh, well, you know, this girl that I know, like, set the whole forest on fire, you know, haha, you know, it's kind of bothering me. And then Rachel just makes the whole thing about her. And then as soon as you go to do the opposite and be like, therapy time for you, she's like, no, I don't want to. One other thing in this that I thought was hilarious. So your drug dealer, literally the guy that just sells you pot, is named Frank, and he lives in a Winnebago. He's really nice to you. Like, he helps like fend off those guys at the beginning of the game. He's like, back off kind of thing after you and Rachel run away. And then he's like, hey, I need you to do this favor for me, and if you do, like, I'll wipe your tab, whatever, right? So you end up doing like a task for him. Anyways, you open Frank's fridge, and there is just a stockpile of steaks. Just the whole fridge is just full of steak.
Meat.
And I'm like, no wonder why every single person in this town weighs only 90 pounds. Frank is hoarding all of the protein.
Got some beef, Quake.
He does more than just peddles drugs, Megan.
He's got a steak and everything.
He also, oh my, oh my.
Chris.
Wow.
We need to head to our last break here, folks, but keep listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring Folkin Mondays, Karaoke Tuesdays, Trivia Wednesdays, Open Stage Thursdays, and Live Music Weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
So Chris, Rob, you guys saw it as well, because a lot of the movies that were planning to be released in theaters are now just coming on to video on demand. You guys saw Scoob. Rob saw Scoob. You didn't see Scoob?
Said Chris.
Yeah, I didn't see Scoob.
Oh, I meant Rob and Kyle. Sorry.
we saw Scoob.
Yeah, we're in the same frame together.
Scoob's a good time. I don't care what anybody
says.
Surprised
by it.
I don't care what anybody says or anybody's butthurt about this movie. It is a great movie.
Man, I wouldn't say butthurt, great. It's a fun movie. I was a fun movie. It didn't make me cry. But I think you also have like a deep emotional attachment between a boy and his dog.
I genuinely have more. Yeah, that's probably a good connecting factor to it.
I mean, like, the opening with little Shaggy and little Scooby was adorable.
The whole it's got great jokes to it. It's got pacing to it, as far as I felt.
And it's adding more to my theory about Fred.
Fred's a little questionable throughout the movie.
I mean, he's played by Zac Efron. That's got to add to my theory.
What, a man just can't be flamboyant and like.
It's not the flamboyant.
No. The jokes that he makes in this movie.
And this, 100%.
In
any other Scooby-Doo iteration, it's not really a thing. In this one, they make a lot of jokes to the point where I'm like, that's not Fred's character.
The main one that points out is when like there's a female cop chick like talking to him or whatever, and she rips the mask off, and it's a dude. Fred's just like, I'm so confused. I'm conflicted.
He doesn't say ew or oh no. He says, I'm so emotionally confused.
He's like, leans into it.
Also, so, whenever you see him with hearts, it's always about the Mystery Machine. Never Daphne.
Yes, you know, he loves the Mystery Machine. That is completely within, like, normal Fred parameters. His one true love is his van.
Yep.
I thought it was traps.
Like, I generally liked the movie. I understand some people's complaints and stuff where... Okay, yeah, they could have just cast the regular voice cast for Scooby-Doo. They just chose to do the celebrity cast because they wanted to put big names on it. But everyone doing Scooby-Doo, like, for the cartoons and for the past, you know, couple of decades, is still doing Scooby-Doo. The voices were, like, facsimiles of the voice. I would have been happier.
Like them. The problem wasn't that they didn't do it. It's that they didn't even, like, let the people know they were doing this.
They didn't even, like, contact.
I know what kind of movie it is. It is very much like with Warner Brothers, they keep television and animation very separate from their movie department. And, like, you see that a lot with the CW and the DC movies, where Warner Brothers was just out handing down edicts to CW saying, okay, you can't use these characters anymore. We might be doing something with a movie. And that's how Tara Strong Harley Quinn got cut out of the live action, is because we're going to do something with Harley Quinn. We can't have two. People don't understand two. And it wasn't until The Flash, like, okay, we made multiverse things, we can do two.
But, like, they had a phenomenal, like, casting to all of this. Like,
they still kept Frank Welker.
Ken Jeong was the Mighty Mutt dude.
Dino Mutt.
Dino Mutt.
What I like about this movie is that it is a love letter to Hanna-Barbera more than just the Scooby-Doo movie. Because
Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman with Tracy Morgan. That was the one where I'm like, I didn't expect them to pull that. I forgot about Captain Caveman because I'm like, okay, they have, you know, Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt. I wonder who else they're going to do. I was thinking it was going to be like Yogi Bear and like Underdog maybe, or
there was a Hong Kong Fooey arcade game.
Yep.
I missed that.
Yeah, Hong Kong Fooey had an arcade machine.
And the Hex Girls had a tour poster.
Nice.
Yep.
But having Captain Caveman be in there, and in a way that makes sense for Captain Caveman to be in that universe, makes me happy.
I also
like that their main villain is Dick Dastardly, who's been the villain in a lot of
Hanna-Barbera
cartoons. But Wacky Races, that's the movie I want.
They like were setting up for it when he was like riding the little like
bumper cars
and stuff like that in the roller coaster. I was like, Rob was like, this is basically just Wacky Racers now. And I'm like, pretty much. Yeah.
And I loved it. The joke I see a lot online is that they're setting up a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe.
Yeah, very much so. That works for me. That's not something that's out of place, because Hanna-Barbera would do this a lot with their characters, especially when they got into like the 70s and the 80s. Is you also have the Laugh Olympics as well, where it was comedy sketch show between all of their different characters interacting in one universe. The Hanna-Barbera universe does precede the Marvel one.
But like,
I don't know what that means.
The whole premise of this movie is you basically have to watch the beginning, I guess, of
the origin of
Mystery Inc., including Simon Cowell.
That was an odd cameo. The thing is, the parts of the movies I don't like is when it starts leaning into, like, not even modern pop culture, because is Simon Cowell still relevant?
Yeah,
he's still
a judge.
He's always been just a judge.
Yeah, like, novelty's worn off for me, at least.
That's all he's good for, man. Is be a judge of things.
Why Simon Cowell? Why, like, that's
a good joke for the adults.
But I like the parts where it's, they're looking for Shaggy. Plot is Shaggy and Scooby go missing. It's up to the rest of the Mystery Gang to find them. And they're talking to the bowling lady, and she's like, yeah, there was this weird guy who talks like someone who thinks like people in the 60s talked.
Says like a lot at the start of his sentences.
So I'm surprised there was no like weird Shaggy smokes pot jokes, because they usually like fit one of those.
Yeah, they didn't go there. That's where I thought they were going to go when they had the pullover with the van.
Yeah, that's what
they were gonna like pull out Scooby snacks and ask like, oh, so what are these? You know,
even like the cop at the beginning when he's like, yeah, what's his middle name? Doobie. I was like, where did you get that from?
I also like the fact that the law says, well, he's got a middle name, can't do anything.
Dog has a middle name, he's free to go.
Which means Kratos can commit any crime, because he's got a full name.
He does have middle name.
In the Hanna-Barbera universe.
Yep. Yeah, Kratos, you can commit crimes in cartoons.
We can all commit crimes in cartoons. That's good advice, Rob.
I think it only applied to dogs with middle names. So Chris is fine.
Do you think you can get away with more crime if you have more middle names, like with a compound middle name? Do you
I mean, think I got two.
Go for more stuff.
I got two, so maybe I could get away with a little more.
Sam? I'm gonna say, since like a regular part of law investigation within Mystery Inc's city is Mystery Inc, so I'm guessing that law could be pretty loose here.
Hey, as
I'm,
long
just,
as we're
I'm
not...
just saying the police enforcement within the Hanna-Barbera universe needs maybe a little work. Just a bit.
I mean, usually Mr. Inc. only deals with like real estate scams, so
I guess
just don't do those.
I guess we should probably explain the plot of Dick Dastardly.
Yeah, I liked the way that they worked this in here. So what they have is they also explain, like, why is Scooby a special dog? Because Scooby is just always kind of talked. And they are – there's one thing that bugs me, though.
What?
Scooby is not the only descendant, because he also has Scooby Dumb and Scrappy Doo.
We don't count those in the –
Nope, we don't talk about Scrappy Doo.
But Scooby Dumb is there, and there is also a female one that I forget. But I don't think that's related because Scooby falls in love. But there is Scooby Dumb. He has a cousin called Scooby Dumb, and he is a valid descendant. I'm disappointed he wasn't brought in.
Actually, if you watched Mr. Inc, Scooby Doo is an alien.
Oh.
Yep. There's a race of sentient dog aliens. And Scooby's one of them, which is why in the cartoons, whenever they say, get that dog out of here, Scooby goes, dog? Where?
I'm so upset we can still hear
that. They make him the last descendant of Alexander the Great's dog. And what happened with Dick Dastardly is Dick Dastardly was working on one of his nefarious schemes, and he made a portal into the underworld with Alexander the Great's treasure. And he sent his loyal, trusty dog, Muttley, into the portal, and it turns out he can't get back.
Sassafras.
Best way to swear on children's television, just mumble.
So I like that they both made him, like, in-character greedy. Like, he was never a good guy, but he still loves Muttley, so he was determined to break into, you know, the underworld so he could get his dog back. Very much a dog fan centric movie, if you will.
Also, little vacuum head robot's adorable.
We call it a Roomba.
he literally like takes a tiny robot and like a hand vacuum,
mm-hmm.
and like stabs it in the head and goes, "This is Roger, Roger. This is your head now."
So wait, he makes the vacuum thing from Teletubbies?
They also sort of set it up so they actually separate the Mystery Inc. team because, Velma, Daphne, and Fred are like, well, we have to go serious here, so we have to move up, you know, into bigger things. And Shaggy and Scooby are kind of viewed as just goofballs that hold the team back. But they end up going joining Dynamite and Blue Falcon.
Blue Falcon.
And become, well, Scooby becomes a literal superhero. And Mystery, you know, Inc. Ended up uncovering this mystery and realized that they have to reunite with Scooby-Doo. So they do keep them separate to keep both those storylines balanced for the while.
So like the only joke.
Thing I don't like is the third act fight that always happens. Like, it's a thing of children's movie. But for this one, I don't think it was even really needed much because Shaggy seemed to be out of character.
See, I kind of like the third act because it has some of the funnier jokes I think of.
I like the third act. It was just that plot thread. I think they could have gotten that in a different way to still having them separate and, you know, led back together without having the, oh, we're not friends anymore fight. Like, I didn't want that fight in this one between Shaggy and Scooby.
That's fair, but...
It's minor. It's a minor nitpick.
But yeah, I also love the part where they're driving and Fred and Daphne start fighting and they're like, have you had lunch? No, Shaggy. And they just kind of realize, like, oh yeah.
Shaggy's the one that also always makes our lunch and makes the sandwiches.
And I would have liked if they would maybe emphasize that a bit more, that it wasn't just that they made food for them, that they were kind of the glue that keeps everyone, you know, mellow and happy. Overall, I enjoy the movie. Like I was saying, I don't think it's a perfect movie, but...
It's a Scooby-Doo movie.
It was a Scooby-Doo movie. I wasn't offended. Yeah. Like, nothing in this made me mad at the movies I've seen with some adaptations where it's like, they're undermining things. Anything that they changed here is like, ah, I'm okay with that. I was never that invested. One of the big ones is Shaggy for like the past couple decades has been a vegetarian, did eat meat in this one, but I'm like, do I actually care about that? No.
Is this actually important?
No.
Velma being Latina for some reason
didn't matter.
No,
didn't matter.
No, that's it honestly even makes a more interesting character.
I really liked Blue Falcon's intro on the ship when he had all of everything except for the balloons, and he's just like, whoa, you have one job, dude. And then later on, you know, he just mid-conversation releases balloons. The guy's like, really? Really now? So it's like little things like that. When I was just watching through it, I'm like, okay, this is actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. Like, it did make me laugh.
Yeah.
My favorite part, though, like, hands down, was the Captain Caveman sequence, where they have to go get the third MacGuffin before Dick Dastardly gets that third MacGuffin.
Skull?
But,
It's a MacGuffin.
The skull?
It's a MacGuffin. Yeah, the skull. It's MacGuffin just means it's a thing that's going to make the end of the plot work.
It's a skull.
But Captain Caveman is the protector of the skull thing. If they had any spinoff movie from this, I want it to be Captain Caveman and the Angels, because it's essentially Charlie's Angels, but funny, and with Tracy Morgan, Captain Caveman. That sounds like a great time to me.
To me,
and
though,
they also made Captain Caveman a very formidable fighter.
Did he beat up Blue Falcon in like 2 seconds?
Yeah.
The only reason he lost is because he got hit by a car going Mach 10. Which, understandably, would take out most people.
The one joke that like cracked me up real hard was at the end where Daphne's trying to distract Cerberus with a Scooby snack. She just winds up, throws a Scooby, eats it. She's like, don't worry, I keep a spare. Winds up, eats it. I'm weak.
I can't stop myself.
We've all been there where it's like, I shouldn't. And then you do.
Joe, I bought a pack of cookies today for that reason. I walked by it and I was like,
cookies.
Well, Scooby snacks. Hey,
the 8 packs of Gatorade that I bought.
You bought 8 juice crystal containers of Gatorade. Yeah, see right there on the table.
Electrolytes. It's what plants crave.
Easy there, Yoda.
There's also 2 bags of crispers over there.
How aren't you dead?
And like 4 bags of cheese slices upstairs.
And then Chris wakes up in the morning, he's like, I feel horrible. And we're like, wonder why.
The other thing I got to do, I don't know if you guys got to see it yet, but me and Rob have a particular love of for the Shirtless Boy Network of CW. But they've been diversifying. And I am really happy with Stargirl.
After, it was good.
It was, especially because the last new series they did was Batwoman. And it
dropped the ball.
It sucks. It sucks. Bad. Like, it has more moments. It has more boring episodes than interesting episodes, I think. And the most interesting episodes is when we get a tidbit of Batman lore, usually.
Apparently they cast Batman for season 2.
That you haven't seen the end of Batwoman yet?
No.
Okay, I won't spoil it. They introduce Hush, so we get to see Bruce Wayne's face. So we get to see effectively who's going to be Bruce Wayne for the end of it. But bringing in a Hush is the most interesting thing they did. But they're going to recast Ruby Rose anyways, and I'm okay with that. She's a perfectly fine actress. She's just,
I don't think it was half charisma
in this. It doesn't work. I do like the one who wants the role, though, from Reno 911.
Yeah. I can't remember the actress name right now, but you were sharing that, and I was like, I can see it.
Everything I've seen, she not only would make a perfect Batwoman because she can do like the anger and vengeance thing, the more important is you have to have some sense of levity within the series or it's going to be boring. But when it comes to levity, Stargirl has it in spades and has a fantastic cast so far.
Absolutely. Like, even right off the start, you see people like Starman, who's Jeff Winger from Community.
I think Joel McHale.
Joel McHale. Yeah. You never remember.
And it's Joel McHale also being that kind of smarmy character where
he gets
he's
to be
very dismissive.
He gets to be his usual jerk self.
The whole opening act is killing off the JSA. So they kill off like Hourman. It's implied they kill off Derek the Flash, which is different in this universe because since they merged everything to Earth Prime, they can make an entire new history that doesn't rely on you know, Ollie being one of the first superheroes now. It can be, you know, you can have this history behind them and time can completely change. Though Legends has kind of thrown out time mattering at all, so which is beneficial here. But they kill everyone. But my favorite thing is watching Starman's death and he's talking to Luke Wilson Stripesy, his sidekick. He's like, someone
will have to take up the mantle. Someone will have to take up the mantle and not you.
I hear you, but so anyways, you like he picks it up and he's like, yeah, anybody but you, Stripesy, just anyone not you can be Starman, and he could be a flexible individual and everything like that. But like,
the thing is, when they pick up the story, so because like we that's the backstory. Like this show opens with a bang, and I was in right away. I enjoy who they cast for Stargirl. She has a lot. She's first and foremost, she's likable. Like she has a lot of presence on screen. But I like the idea of using someone who's strong in gymnastics
with
a staff that she can do gymnastics upon. That gives so much potential for the stunts that she can do. And that's something that I've been missing from some other DC shows that have been really effective. Is I loved Arrow because I loved fight choreography. Like that was one of the best parts of the show early on. And that's something they can now merge with the special effects they've seen with this one.
Sentient staff.
I like the story they set up for this. So, you know, Luke Wilson has a new family. He is a stepdad. And the you know, the daughter's going through like her, I'm at a new school, rebellious teen phase and such. And stumbles upon his old JSA stuff and the staff and then goes off with it and decides to, you know, get back at some teenage bullies.
By blowing up their car.
By accident.
Same.
Whoopsie. Blew the car. Sorry. Oh my god.
It also sets the whole plot in motion because this alerts the remnants of the Injustice League that someone went after his son and it was with Starman's staff. So he wants to know like who that is. But where this ends out on is with Luke Wilson's car turning into a mech, and that's where we get the ending battle. And I'm like, oh, it's one of these shows. I'm so in. This is not only one of the most interesting shows they've done like in a long time. Honestly, this is the best episode I've seen out of CW for quite some time. I love the Crisis crossover, but that kind of relied on like the entire universe coming together. When it comes to like individual episodes from the series, some of them have been kind of like really uneven and up and down lately.
And mostly
Flash. I really, outside of Crisis, the two stories they have around Flash, I've been.
Just been feeling mad about it.
What I like about Stargirl right now is it also sets up the possibility for other heroes, because even Kyle pointed out in the picture, you see Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
Someone else can wear the helmet.
Dr. Fate wasn't in that like big fight when they all died and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So he's still the sentient helmet somewhere.
Yeah, and his helmet's indestructible.
I think reforming the JSA is eventually going to be part of this story. I don't know if it's going to be the season one story, if it's going to be like led to into the end, but they can bring in so many interesting heroes into this. And I'm glad that it went to CW, because originally this was just supposed to come out on DC All Access like Doom Patrol did. They had so much faith in it. Like, no, we're actually going to make this a network show. We're not going to drop it all at once. We'll do the weekly release and it'll be on the real network.
They have the credits for up to, 13 episodes, I think?
I believe so.
So that's going to be something to look forward to. And I'm excited to see what, like, superheroes they bring in, because it's already looking pretty
heavy
good.
Hitters. Yeah, like, usually it takes DC a while to introduce, like, so many into their show. And
it started with Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, it's such a perfect contrast to show what you can do, because Batwoman was logged down with trying to introduce the idea of Kate Kane and Batwoman and stuff, that it just drags down the story as they keep trying to set up a universe that was like, no, we're in for superheroes, you can just go with it. Stargirl just says, okay, boom, boom, superheroes obviously exist, this was the past team, they're all dead, staff moves, boom, we're going into a whole universe. This one, I think it's led by Jeff Johns this time, who is kind of a prolific comic
book
writer.
Yeah, heavy hitter.
Green Lantern run is legendary.
Jeff Johns was the one who said, hey, fans are smart enough to know there's two different universes.
Yeah. like, guys, the comic book fans have been dealing this with for years. We don't even have to worry about contradicting ourselves. If we ever do it too much, we'll do Crisis and fix it. Huh.
Yeah, just
run with it. Have fun. Yeah. Have fun with your characters. Sorry.
That's all it is. It's like, all you got to do is if you have too many things,
and there's
Crisis.
We got Crisis, we have Infinite Crisis, and we have Final Crisis, so we can have more crises. Crisis-I? What's the plural for crisis?
Crises.
It's all your fault!
I'm a crisis!
They are doing a different crossover next year, and it's going to be interesting now with Ruby Rose leaving Batwoman, because they were going to do a much smaller crossover, because you can't go bigger than Crisis the next year. Like, you can't ump the ante every time, you have to go smaller eventually. So they are doing a new Lois and Clark show, so they're going to cross over Batwoman with Lois and Clark, but Batwoman's leaving, so
we'll see what happens with that.
I actually met the OG Lois and Clark. Mm-hmm. Dean Cain.
Yeah.
I actually really like that show. And
same. I'm excited to see them do a new one. And I like them doing more types of hero stories with the DC characters, because that was something that was a strength of DC for a long time, as they moved away from just single guys living a bachelor life and having no, and like focusing more on like the troubles that the hero life causes upon that, instead of, hey, no, we have a functional family and we just happen to fight crime.
I can't wait for my Green Lantern show.
Yes, that one's coming on HBO Max. I am so excited to see what they can do with a budget.
Give me my Green Lanterns. It actually looks pretty dark.
Yeah.
I mean, underneath my monitor right now, there's a Green Lantern comic book, so.
For now, we're still in the golden age of new content, where streaming platforms are so competitive with each other. They are dumping as much money as they can into acquiring licenses and making new content. So Warner Brothers leaning more on their DC products makes me happy, because I think DC works better as a series than it does as a movie so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than they've shown that they work better as a TV series / animated movie director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's perfectly okay.
Look at Harley. Like the Harley.
The Harley Quinn movie, though, was amazing.
Not bad.
It's not bad, but the cartoon is just...
The cartoon's even better. The cartoon is even better.
Exactly. Like, that's the point, though, is, like, the Justice League movies and stuff like that, they exist, but then you have, like, Justice League Apocalypse and stuff like that that come out in the same time frame, where they're just infinitely times better, where you get to see every hero in action. They don't have to go back and explain all these things. They don't go through all these crappy backstories or everything like that. Or if they want to, they just release another movie.
And this kind of ties us back into why I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut, but I don't expect it to be good. Because the fundamental flaw with Snyder's vision of DC is it took itself too seriously. DC is absurd and fanciful.
Goofy.
The beauty of DC is taking this goofy universe and then treating it with reverence and just running in with full force of all of the weird, wacky, and wonderful powers that you'll have. And they don't hate being superheroes.
Besides,
they have struggles, but they don't hate being heroes. All of Zack Snyder's characters have kind of hated being a superhero.
Besides Superman being the antithesis of the greatest and most powerful hero that has ever existed in DC Comics.
Yeah.
Every other hero at some point has done some reality warping, god level tier shenanigans.
The Silver Age was a weird time, but it created so many just wacky ideas that we now run with. We're like, okay, no, that makes sense.
The Flash moving across the universe in an attosecond.
I just have to vibrate at a different speed and I can translate between alternate dimensions. Sure, I'll go with it. Science.
I mean, the complicated story of Booster Gold's one. His continuity is a...
That's a series I hope they'll do someday. I don't know where the rights are sitting, because they... Before Green Arrow, before Berlanti did the first Green Arrow show, he was working with Sci-Fi to do a Booster Gold show that just never got off the ground. And I think because of the license and rights were still tied up with Sci-Fi is why Booster Gold isn't in Legends of Tomorrow.
I don't know if you've heard, but Nathan Fillion has openly said if he can't do Green Lantern, even though he does the voice, he would love to be a live-action Booster Gold.
He would
That's
be
an ideal
amazing,
casting!
That'd be an amazing booster.
I personally couldn't think of a better guy.
No.
But yeah, I'm glad CW could still do good TV, because like there's been stuff that I still love Legends, but Legends is goofy, stupid fun, and that's just for me. They even have a version of the Wonder Twins this year, and that makes me really happy.
I'm still
outside of Crisis. A lot of the stories have been except Black Lightning. Black Lightning's just chugging along, and it's just a gritty, realistic show about family and struggles of being black in America and a superhero.
But I'm still waiting for my legit Wonder Twins, because Crisis promised us Gleek.
Yes. Well, that's the thing is, I think the direction they're going is they're making the twins the Wonder Twins. But I guess we'll wrap it up there, guys. And you know what? We'll of course be back here next week. God. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Chris.
And we're your
Thunder Geeks.
Okay.
We'll see you next week.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Sticks again, pushing me.